Today, I'm talking to Liz George. You're the Director of Income for the Queen Elizabeth Foundation for Disabled People, which is a charity based in Leatherhead. The charity supports hundreds of disabled people into employment, enabling them to achieve their potential and live with greater independence. Welcome to Radio Jackie, Liz.
Thanks, nice to see you.
So, last Friday, you celebrated your 90th birthday, but we'll go on to that later. Can you give me a brief potted history of the charity as it's 90 years old? It's been going a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you say, it'll be a potted history because a lot has happened over the last 90 years. Originally, when we started, we were an employment training college for disabled people, provided vital skills for people who wanted to get into employment. That was the fundamental purpose. And of course, the courses changed over time to reflect the changes in the workplace. So in the 1930s, we were providing training in welding through to computer programming, in the 1980s, supported hundreds of people, disabled people, to gain work. And I know that many people in Surrey, and I'm sure some of your listeners will still recall being part of QEF. So I guess over the last 90 years, really, the services have expanded and changed. There's been quite a lot of innovation, often as a result of developing services to meet unmet needs. So we opened the UK's first ever mobility centre in 1982, which supports disabled people to access driving. We developed a service called Try Before You Fly in 2012, and that helps disabled people to experience what it's like to be in an aircraft cabin and understand what support they may need, but without committing to buying a ticket. So it gives people that vital experience.
So you've had many milestones since it was opened by Her Royal Highness the Duchess of York, later to become Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother, in 1935. You've just mentioned the first mobility centre, that's in Carshalton, and what you've achieved there. Since 2017, you've teamed up with AELTC to give disability insights into the Wimbledon Championship. As we have just started the Wimbledon Championship this week, I thought it was a pertinent question to ask you, how does that work?
Yeah, that's right. And gosh, what a hot few days for the start of the champs. So yeah, we were delighted to have been asked by the All England Lawn Tennis Club to support them, particularly around the 2 weeks of the championships at Wimbledon, but also in the run up. So helping them to understand how they could provide a more inclusive, accessible service to Wimbledon for the championships, and that means really looking at what are the needs of people who have additional needs, disabilities. Whether that's a hidden disability or a physical need. Wimbledon itself is a fantastic experience to go and watch the games. But of course, especially in the heat, it can be quite a long day. There's a lot of standing in the queues. And so we've provided that service, helping disabled people to find their seats, helping them to access different requirements if they need it, quiet rooms, etc. We work very closely with the team there on the ground. We also ask people, who are visiting Wimbledon and who may have those disabilities, what sort of services they'd like, how would they like it developed, what else could Wimbledon do? So I think it just shows that the All England Lawn Tennis Club are really open to that inclusive support and developing, services to meet the needs. And we use a lot of volunteers actually to help us. So the team are up there at the moment, said they've been there over the last couple of days, and they'll be there for the duration. So if any of your listeners are visiting Wimbledon, then whether you have a disability or not, please come and say hello because we've got a full team of people up there.
That's super. And are there any opportunities for disabled people to actually work at Wimbledon during the championship?
I don't know about whether they can work at Wimbledon. So we provide specifically that accessibility service. So we can have people come and volunteer with us. It's probably best to get in touch directly with the All England Lawn Tennis Club to see if there's, direct work opportunities. I know that they're very open to, to being as inclusive as they possibly can and welcoming everybody, whether that's, through paid roles, volunteering, or of course as visitors.
Right, we'll move on to in 2021, your care and rehabilitation centre was opened by Her Royal Highness the Duchess of Edinburgh. Can you tell me a little bit about this centre in Leatherhead?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so it was a purpose-built centre, fantastic building, and really the purpose of it was as to meet the needs of our clients, particularly around neuro rehabilitation. So our expert team of therapists, 24-hour nursing care, consultants in neurological medicine lead the team, and they provide a service which helps people to regain core skills after a neurological injury or an illness. So, for example, for if somebody's had a stroke, they may come to us after a stay in hospital, and they then, learn how to rebuild those core skills, again enabling them to live an independent life and, fulfill their potential, which is the core ethos of QEF and all. Always has been. I can give you an example actually of something that happened recently and is pertinent to the 90th anniversary. So we've had one of our clients, one of the patients who came to stay with us, who'd suffered a stroke. He was a really keen painter, and he was really worried actually after his stroke that he might not be able to hold a paintbrush actually to continue with his artwork. But the work that the therapists, occupational therapists, physiotherapists, speech and language therapists, did enabled him to learn to relearn different skills, to be able to continue with his artwork. And he painted the staff a beautiful picture of irises, which we're told was the late Queen Mother's favourite flower. And he did that specifically to celebrate QEF's 90th anniversary. So staff were given a painting. We have some special pin badges and other merchandise, limited edition merchandise around our 90th anniversary, which is available in our shops. And really, I guess that example of the client who was able to, sort of regain his love for art and actually contribute again, really pertinent to that 90th anniversary and how we've been celebrating.
It's a lovely example of how your help enables somebody to give back to you as well. So it is a very symbiotic relationship you must have with a lot of your patients.
That's right.
So moving on, how did you actually celebrate? Did you have a party? What happened?
So Friday was actually our anniversary. So it's the 27th of June, a working day for lots of people. So of course we put out quite a lot of stories on social media. We were able to present all of our staff and volunteers with the pin badges, as I said, limited edition pin badges, which are also available through the shops. And we're actually focusing on the rest of this year in terms of celebrations. We have a number of events coming up, particularly as fundraisers, which all of our staff are and clients, of course, our patients are welcome to attend. We have a Guinness and Oyster luncheon, which takes place at the Mansion House in November. We have an annual lunch, which takes place in October. And again, all staff are welcome to attend that. And we're really theming some of those events around, around the 90th anniversary. We've also been able to write to all of the staff. So our chief executive, Karen Deacon, wrote to all of our staff again to sort of thank them for their support. And we continue to celebrate. And really, I think the biggest celebration is in welcoming more patients and supporting more people, particularly, within Surrey and the surrounding areas. And many of your community, the Radio Jackie listeners, will know the support that we provide. And I think that's the best celebration, that we can offer is continuing that service.
And are you seeing more patients coming your way?
We're certainly seeing more requests, for patients to be seen within both the Care and Rehabilitation Centre and also at the Mobility Service over at Carr Sholton. We hear about the challenges within the NHS, of course, and we work very, very closely with our partners within the NHS to make sure that there's, again, that really close relationship and making sure that that clients can access those services. So all of the partners that we work with are vital in that respect. And yes, there are many more people out there who need our support and could benefit from the support, not just in terms of, the surroundings and the building that we've talked about, but particularly those skills and regaining potential, regaining hope, some clients, sort of describe it as. So yes, there's many more people who need our support out there, which is why fundraising is so important to us as well.
Can people self-refer, or do they have to be referred on from another body?
No, they can self-refer as well. So we do take self-referrals. Lots of information on our website as to how to do that. And you mentioned other bodies. We work, as I said, with the local NHS, local hospital trusts, and they will also refer. They know the specific. There are some specific pathways. I mentioned the stroke pathway that that we work with through the NHS. And again, that supports people to make a really seamless transition into their rehabilitation journey. Journey with QEF.
Yeah, and we're hearing more and more about neurodiversity every single day, especially in children. Are you seeing more people with neurodiversity coming to you for help? Maybe parents asking you for help for their children?
Yeah, we specifically work with adults, so we don't care for children within the Care and Rehabilitation Service. We do work with children through one of our, well, through a sister charity, the Medical Engineering Unit, which is based over with Mobility in Carshalton. And we provide mini powered wheelchairs for children and families there through a free loan scheme. And that, I mean, that's fantastic because it allows the youngest children, to regain their independence. In some cases, actually, it's the first time that they're able to move independently, and they get up to a lot of trouble and cause their parents quite a lot of angst in the process. But that's exactly what young children should do. So, that's good as far as we're concerned. And we are seeing, yes, we have a waiting list, for children who need Bugsies, and we do see, a lot of support that's required for those families, as do many other charities, who work with young people in Surrey.
And I think because the NHS is having lots of funding issues, lots of waiting lists, I'm sure more people are being funneled in your direction.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's the same, as I said, for many other charities across the county, actually. So and that's why, it's so important. I mentioned our events, I mentioned our charity shops, I mentioned the partners that we work with, and that I think is why it's so important to continue these partnerships, and ultimately, to be able to raise enough money and enough funding to be able to support more people. That's what's most important. So if you've got listeners out there who want to do their own fundraising events, for example, or want to join in some of our Team 90. We have a squad, sort of Team 90 who are fundraising to support us this year, in whatever way they would like, or join in with one of our organised events, then we'd be delighted to hear from people, and all the details will be on the website.
So you've actually answered my next question, which was about fundraising and how you do fundraise. So would you like to tell the Radio Jackie listeners how or where they go to fundraise for you or give or get some ideas of how they can fundraise for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say, I mean, really, the best place is the website. So that's www.qef.org.uk. There is a page there which is devoted to fundraising. It'll provide you with all of the details for all the organised events that you can join in, but also lots of ideas as to how to fundraise for yourselves. And we're really lucky that we've got a fantastic community. We've got incredibly loyal supporters who've supported us, in some cases through families, probably going back, to our sort of origins 90 years ago. And they support us in lots of different ways. So cake sales, community fairs, schools locally will do lots of fundraising for us, but we also have corporate teams who come in and volunteer within the grounds of QEF. We have companies who put on events specifically to raise money. And as I mentioned, two of our forthcoming kind of flagship events, the Guinness and Oyster Luncheon, which is at the Mansion House in London, and a lunch event, which is at the Grandstand in Epsom in October and November, respectively. So all of those details will be on the website.
Yeah, that's super. So I was going to talk about plans going forward. You've got 10 years till your centenary. Have you anything big for the centenary planned, or is that just too far ahead at the moment?
Well, I think that, we need to really spend this year celebrating, the achievements that we've made thus far, and actually then really focus on what is it that disabled people need for the future. I think that's the key thing. So, a lot of the services that we've developed have been out of innovation, out of meeting an unmet need, and I think that's what we need to continue to do is, listen to our patients, our clients, and understand, what they need for the future, and then build from there, really. So yeah, I think there'll be lots of exciting plans, but probably a bit too early to announce them now.
Do you think employers are more open to employing disabled people? Are there more facilities? Are there more opportunities in the workplace for disabled people? Probably as a result of some of the wonderful work that you do.
Well, we focus specifically on helping people to regain their independence, within the care and rehabilitation centre here, if they've had a neurological injury or illness. In some cases, if that means that they can go back to work, for example, or find new employment, then that's fantastic. And that might be one of their goals. We don't specifically provide that employment service anymore. So it's I'm probably best not, not qualified
Okay.
really to talk about the specifics of the workplace, but I definitely know that the clients who come to us, if they are able to work again, then absolutely, part of their goals will be about that independence. How do they get back to the lives that they had before their illness or their injury?
Liz, thank you very much for talking to me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Congratulations on your 90 years. And do keep in touch with us about any of your fundraising events, because obviously we'd love to publish them on air so people can join in and raise some very, very valuable money to help your wonderful charity. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. And can I also just say, Jackie, thank you to all the supporters who have supported us all of these years. As I said, it goes back through many generations. I'm quite sure, to the origins of the 90th anniversary. So thank you to everybody who's been with us for the last 90 years, and thank you for your support as well.
Thank you. Have a very good day, Liz.
Thanks. Okay.
Bye
Bye.
for now. Bye.